Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back. Although, the Lions defense is not quite back yet. The Lions lose 48-42. Just an insane game in a lot of ways. But they lose 48-42 to the probably the eventual MVP, Josh Allen, and the Buffalo Bills in Detroit. Well, there is a lot to break down in this game, a lot of implications both in the standings and especially injury-wise going forward here. Oh boy, we got a lot to talk about on this episode and even what this game means going forward. So before we get into all that, though, we got to introduce Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. All right, Big Z, let's get to the rest of the crew. We got Red Dog.
Yo!
UJ.
Hello, Lion fans.
Bob.
Season's greetings, everyone.
And back for the second time this year, Connor!
Ooh, I'm back, boys. I'm back.
Ooh.
The pod needs me now more than ever.
Yep. When the Lions defense is struggling, Connor answers the call to come onto the podcast.
When AG is a slipping, Connor comes.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I think we have to start, before I get into like just everything else that happened in this game, we have to start with the defensive side of things. It is getting ugly with the injuries just piling up like a bad car crash on the highway in the middle of a snowstorm or so, like just like a 100 park pile up, like a Lee McNeil.
Let's
pour one out for him.
That's like the worst one you could have lost, I think.
Just on a, do you think it was the turf? Like if that's grass, does that injury occur?
I don't know. I
don't know what they need to do, but they need to find a way to get grass in Ford Field. I don't care.
I highly
do.
They need to get grass.
I know it's indoors.
Agreed.
They can figure it out, though. This is a billion-dollar franchise.
Seriously.
They can figure it out. Get grass in there next season.
Yeah. Well,
he
tears his ACL. He is out for the season. He was our best lineman out there. And
heartbreaking, man.
Just a pass rush up the middle. Just brutal, in so many ways. Just based on the fact that we're missing our entire starting defensive line, he was the last piece of that puzzle, and now he is out. You have Carlton Davis, who fractured his jaw. He is out 6 weeks. There are 3 weeks left in the season. So
our helmet's getting bad too, like
that?
Jaw injuries in 2 weeks.
That is a rare one. I have not heard that one too often in the NFL. But
I don't hear jaw injury, and then I hear twice in 2 weeks with Aleem and then Davis.
Like, I think he took a knee like under the helmet, like during a tackle. It was just so. There's another one. Also, a lot of these guys don't wear mouth guards. Do you ever notice that? I don't know how they do that.
I think they're
insane. Yeah, how do you not wear a mouth guard?
Yeah.
Like Brian Branch just puts his on top of the helmet with that green. I don't know if that's
I think he might still wear one like just a more discreet one.
It's very discreet.
I don't know.
But either way, a fractured jaw. So he is out 6 weeks, so he can return in the Super Bowl, basically.
This is crazy.
Maybe the NFC Championship if they wire it. Maybe he just won't be able to talk. They just wire his mouth shut for a game.
It feels like we're like blood sacrificing to like the football gods or something. Like what the
hell?
Yeah. like we're paying a price in flesh for our ascent. I don't know. This is insane though.
And then there's
it's all cropping up in the same areas.
Khalil Dorsey, he's going to need surgery and several tears in his leg, brutal injury. He's down on the field for like 15 minutes. So he's out. And then another big one today that I don't think we necessarily were expecting when we woke up this morning, but David Montgomery having a terrific year, signs a new contract. He is out for the season with an MCL injury. Kind of sounds like what Kaminsky had. And that was a weird one. There wasn't like obvious play where he got hurt either.
If you tear those, it's supposed to not hurt as much. Like a sprained MCL is supposed to hurt a lot, but like a torn MCL can kind of, maybe he didn't quite realize it.
Because I think he went back in the game actually after he injured.
Yeah.
Right.
Because like it's your lateral stabilizer in your leg. So it's like you can run straight in a straight line and kind of not feel it necessarily. But yeah, as soon as he probably cut or something, he probably knew. Oh gosh, that's a hard one. You can kind of make up for it with a brace, though, if you get like a really, they got to have like high tech braces now, right?
Yeah. So Monty, as much as we love him, that one worries me less, just because we do have some depth at least, and we have Gibbs still.
You could argue he kind of did his job by like ferrying Gibbs to the late part of the season without having to take too much of the load. Like now we can lean on Gibbs down the stretch maybe, and like now you didn't put a whole season's workload on him.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, Gibbs, just, we just need him to stay healthy too. Just get everybody healthy to the playoffs somehow here. But the biggest problem is going to be on this defense. You could see it in this game. The Lions just did not have enough talent out there to compete with a high octane offense like Buffalo. The Lions also at times just did not do their assignments very well, especially keeping Josh Allen in the pocket, which was like our number one key. And it's tough. I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but you got to stay outside. Like Pascal, I thought, played horribly in this game. He did not do his job at all in the pass rush department. He did not contain Allen. The Lions got torn to bits and pieces in the run game too. They look lost defensively. It's
on the edge.
It's concerning.
Especially on the edge.
Are we just gonna forget that? The same thing just happened to the defense that made our offense struggle last week. I don't know. Like this is the NFL, man. Like the Bills were coming off a game where they what they did, literally this game's like a mirror image of that freaking Rams Bills game, but we're the Bills spot. Like it was a barn burner. They just took the initiative and never looked back, and you know, we chased them all the way to the end.
I don't agree with that. I mean, it's very different. They have they're missing those two safeties, but we're missing like 19 players on defense. I mean,
yeah, you really
it's very different calculus.
But I think they came out with. I think it's more the game plan of the Bills. They took the initiative by making some really good plays right out the gate. They did, you know, target some of the weaknesses. They got those running backs against our linebackers and stuff. But it was a good game plan. I get the concern. I get that, you know, the attrition matters and all that to some extent. But I also want to say, like, I don't feel like this is indicative as much as it was like just a good performance by a team that came in off a loss, was ready for us, had had the emotional edge, had a great game plan drawn up for us, and we didn't quite put our best foot forward. I just don't like this doom and gloom, like, oh, there's a great concern. Like, look, yeah, we're banged up, but we still got some studs on this defense and we still got some guys, and I think a new game plan handles Josh Allen much differently. Like, I just think the Bills did a good job this week. So
you're blaming Glenn?
No.
Really noticed the lack of talent.
How about I blame Amon-Ra St. Brown for fumbling more than I blame Glenn? Like, if it was a barn burner.
The defense, so how are you bringing Amon-Ra?
His play cost us more than the defense did, I think.
I think you really see the lack of talent on the field in this game, at least, in the pass coverage of Ty Johnson. We have no depth at linebacker right now.
I mean, that was.
And I thought that was really exposed.
Right.
It
was
Ty Johnson again. Is that a revenge game against the Lions in this one?
A little bit.
He was all over the field. Yeah. He's been playing good as a third string running back, but my lord, in this game, 5 catches for 114 yards.
Yeah.
And a lot of key downs too. It was a lot of Josh Allen always scrambles to his right. Typically, he's better 1 inch from the sideline than he is in the pocket throwing the ball. He's a wizard looking right to left for some reason.
He baits those guys too on the edge. They're supposed to contain him, and they're trying to contain him, but he's right there. So then they lunge at him, and then he goes right around him and makes his move, you know?
Yeah. No,
it's hard to stay disciplined on that thing.
He's really, really good. There's no doubt about it. But a couple times the Lions are caught peeking inside. You can't do that against a guy this good. Like, you're engaged, you're trying to keep it in the pocket, and then the moment you take that tackle and try to do an inside move, you're done for. Josh Allen's going to escape out of the pocket in an instant.
They also all bite on the pump fake, too. Jump up in the air, let them juke around him. So frustrating.
Hey, listen, we're talking about the defensive woes and all that, but to me, the game was won by Buffalo in the first quarter when they're able to shut down our offense for a couple drives while they just zoomed ahead.
They
went up
sprinted.
By, I think, 3 touchdowns, right, at one point. By the time our offense got going, and our offense got going, it was going, baby. I mean, that offense put on a show. And we only lost by 6. We only lost by 6. And if we didn't spot them early with our slow out of the gate, start with the offense, we'd have been right in this game. So,
and missed some field goals too,
and fumbled the ball in the red zone, and
fumbled it,
and then onside kick that puts the defense in the red zone. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this defense gave up 14 points that were basically on the offense. So it's like, yes, the defense is looking a bit spotty right now. I'm not, like Allen put a show on. There's no doubt they had a good game plan. I also think we were at the end of a stretch here. We were on an 11-game win streak. There's a lot of tension built up, pressure towards perfection. And, you know, the Lions just didn't quite get out the right energy on this game. And I think Dan Campbell nailed it on the head. It was on him. Not in like some like specific decision sense, but just like he didn't get his team to the right energy level to take on the task ahead of them. And that's, like it's a more ethereal thing, but like that's really what it was. It was the initiative. It was the urgency. Like the Bills learned urgency the week before because the Rams did the same thing. They jumped out to a lead and never gave it up. The Bills came in and did the same damn thing to us, and we did the same thing they did, which was put on a show on offense and just chase them to the end. I mean, what's to say we're not going to go do this to the next team? I just feel like it's the moment of the loss. Everyone panics and forgets that this team is 12-2 and this defense has been good. The same defense just like beat the Packers the week before, so it's not.
Did we like the decision by Dan Campbell to do the onside kick? I actually did because this defense is giving up 9 yards a play in this game. Obviously in hindsight it was a bad decision. But I agree with the decision.
I didn't like it on the face of it because the offense was heating up at that point. And if the defense just hold them to some field goals and we score some touchdowns, we're going to take over that game.
Like, well, that, to me, that was – go ahead.
Buffalo was in a chance to do a 4-minute drive mode,
heat
up a lot of clock. And by giving them the short field, even if they did score, they were going to score a lot quicker. I mean, that potentially –
but they need another touchdown.
Campbell, at the time, but it could have been –
I'm with you, UJ. Like, the worst case scenario was what happened, and that wasn't the likely outcome. If the likely outcome was they dive on the ball and they start their drive at midfield, which to me, on the calculus of it, if we hold them to a field goal there, because like they don't have as much field to eat up, if we do get a stop and hold them to a field goal, it was a 13-point game at that point. But the worst possible thing happened, and they ran it to the 1-yard line, got to run a play after and score. Like, that was the worst case scenario, a very unlikely scenario. So, like, and because, like, then my problem wasn't kicking it that way. My problem was, why kick deep the next time? Because seriously, it makes no sense. The advantage you were looking for was to crunch time. You wanted them to have a short field so that if they scored a field goal, it was short. And if it was, but like, then kicking it deep the next time, you gave them a long drive to kill like most of the quarter. I mean, that's
it. Connor, what are your thoughts?
6 minutes.
I didn't love it at the time. I've always supported Dan going for it on fourth, even on his own 30. That I didn't mind, but onside kicks are just such a low percentage play compared to going for it on fourth and one or fourth and five even. I thought the defense was starting to play a little bit better. I mean, that was Allen's only touchdown in that quarter, I think, was because they started on the 5. I in my view, you trust your defense a bit there, but I can't fault Campbell. Lions are 12-2, so I'm not like angry about it.
Yeah, I wasn't like I don't think I loved it in the moment either, but I understood it because, like I said, they gave up 9 yards of play in this game. It was kind of desperation mode at that point because the Lions they lost two guys in this game, or three guys in this game by that point. They're just being held by bubblegum and duct tape. So I don't ultimately have
I think
a
that's
problem
why
with
you don't do it because there's already. They were closing the gap a little bit. Their lines were heating up on offense at that point. There was still a lot of time left. So if you could make them make a stop there or hold them a field goal.
Well, yes, with a normal defense. But the problem is our defense is playing horrendously in this game.
Yeah, so you give them a short field to help them out? I mean, I don't see that. That doesn't
– Well,
I love Dan Campbell, but he was wrong on this –
To me, the short field there like makes sense. If you hold him to a field goal on a short field, that's not going to be as long of a drive to eat clock.
But then you're down an extra touchdown. That's the.
I'm saying if you hold him to a
points,
field goal,
then the other team is kind of the general.
Well, the whole goal is to hold him to a field goal
you
at least.
Give up more points. Then you have to score more points.
I'm saying if they get the ball at midfield, there's a better chance of holding him to a field goal. But they got the ball at the 5, so like that wasn't the likely outcome of that. The likely outcome was they were going to get the ball at midfield. I think you have a good chance of holding him to a field goal there. You're only down 13, and now you got a chance to actually – you got two touchdowns to score. Either way, you had to score twice, but then it's still only a two-score game if you hold him to a field goal there, and they don't have a long field to eat up the clock.
No, you don't hold. You could hold him into no points if you kick it deep.
I think they should –
Or you
tried,
get the ball back.
You could, but the way they were playing was unlikely.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. Second, give him a touchdown so you have more time to score a touchdown.
Well, I disagree with that. Give him the touchdown. I definitely disagree with
not
that.
The touchdown, the field goal.
I think they should have done what they did on the second onside kick on the first one.
Yes.
I thought the Bills were genuinely fooled by Jake Bates chasing the ball down himself. They were really close to getting it.
Oh,
If they had got that the first
Ezekiel
time,
Turner like dove in with his like, feet first. That was a very bizarre dive for the ball he made.
I know. The Lions could have gotten that ball like look on the replay.
I know. If they did, they could have won that game, too.
It would have been crazy. Amazing.
Well, it would have been a Hail Mary because I think they would only had like 6 seconds left.
12, I think.
Right.
Yeah, 12 seconds. They could have gotten one play off the sideline.
Happened with the Lions, man. You never know.
Yeah. True?
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about some good things here. Goff was a stud in this game.
Stud.
Man. He was just amazing. He was called on to do what he had to do to win, or what he could to try to win. Man, did he perform. What a game.
Awesome. Yep. 38 of 59, 494 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was throwing dimes all over the field. Even the Amon-Ra had a bad drop on one. Now, it wasn't a great throw by Goff, but Amon-Ra still should have had it. And then obviously Amon-Ra had 114 catches, 193 yards, and a touchdown, and it wasn't his best game. The one throw to Amon-Ra, the 66-yard touchdown, was just ridiculous. I don't know how Goff possibly made that one work.
Tipped.
I don't, and it got tipped too.
Yep.
It started fluttering, and Amon-Ra didn't stop him though. No problem.
No, I don't think Amon-Ra expected to get it either. He just kind of threw up his hands at the last second, like, oh, I guess it's coming to me.
Hey, but even on the one he
put
dropped,
on the Jets.
I'm not trying to forgive him for it, but the play before he got jacked. The very previous play, he just got jacked up, and it was a brutal hit.
He might have been a little queasy still.
In the very next play, that was the one he missed. It almost seemed like he didn't want to reach his arms out far enough or something to like extend himself a little. I don't know if it was residual from that play or what.
I think the Browns were doing a good job of kind of sniping over the middle, like anything that was, what did I say?
The Browns.
Yeah, the Bills. Like every time Ra was catching or any of these guys were catching it, they were getting jacked. Like the Bills were putting a licking on them. Like Goff got them kind of teed off out a couple times too. Like, I think they were just waiting for it. And the guys hung in there tough and made plays.
I mean, this is definitely it sucks that they got off to that bad start because when you look at the box score, it's incredible. But yeah, no points in the first quarter, and they didn't capitalize on the missed field goal at the end of the first half there too. Which,
and missed our own.
Yeah,
I know they could have tied that game at halftime. That felt like a real missed opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. But they just hummed it the rest of the game. Honestly, Laporta looked great. He was moving it down the field. 7 catches, 111 yards. J-Mo had a nice catch on the sideline there.
How about that fleet-footed receiver, Stan Skipper?
Yes.
Oh, baby.
Great play call. Great play call.
Yeah.
I'm glad he finally got his touchdown.
That's so funny. Did you see that guy trying to tackle? How do you want to tackle a guy like that? He's like 340 pounds, like 6'9". Or you're going to take that guy head on going into the end zone? Yeah, I don't
Yeah, that looked like it might have hurt.
That was funny, though. Good job by Skip on that one.
We finally got one of our O linemen to score. I feel like we've tried so many times this year, keep getting stopped.
We have. And it's even cooler. Right after the game, he had to go witness the birth of his child. So,
yeah, that's right.
quite a day for him, except for the loss, of course.
Yeah.
So he's like, great, my child was born, but we lost today, so. I'm sure he had a good day.
Was it really a good day?
Oh, man. But, yeah, this is, no, definitely the offense is not the issue. Now, there are things the offense could have done, like we mentioned, that could have won them the game, but they had to play perfect to win the game, and they didn't. And as a result, they lost because our defense is – It's bad right now. It's just in bad shape.
Ed Oliver kind of disrupted our O line pretty good though. Damn.
Yeah, oh Ragnow did not have a good game. I thought in this one,
he got pancaked.
Yeah, he got several times, not just once, several times. A holding call as well. Definitely his. I thought his worst game of the year. Ed Oliver, ate us.
He was a man possessed. In that
Yeah, he took over that game.
He was
pretty
playing
much.
Really good.
I mean, which is kind of wild. Like as good as he played, we still put up 42 points. But like
Ed Oliver,
the run game was very much stifled, which was our worst run performance of the season, if I'm not mistaken. Like this was rough. We did not run well.
I still think the Bills defense could be their ultimate undoing. I mean, the Rams put a bunch of points up on them. We put a bunch of points up on them.
I really wanted Ed Oliver in the draft. You guys remember who we took in front of him?
Who did we take? I don't remember.
Yes, thank you, T.J. Hockenson. It'd be nice to have Ed Oliver right now.
Oh, boy, you're not kidding.
He'd probably be hurt if he was.
Or even the last 4 years. Yeah, right? Yeah, he probably would.
Like he'd be out for the season.
Our defense is like, it's like, what is that, the Theseus' ship? Or like, if you replace all the parts of a ship, is it still the same ship? This defense is like, this is all new people.
It's not the same ship.
8 of our 11 starters on defense out for the year. Not out for the year, but out. And most
of
them
out
for the year.
6 of our front 7 are out. 6 of our front 7.
Who's the one?
Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Well, he wasn't even a starter to start the year.
Well,
so.
Yeah, technically, you're right. He wasn't a starter. You're right.
He started. I
mean,
the first player.
There's still
something.
Some hope. You know, Anzalone's going to come back. Iffy and Rakestraw are going to come back.
That's right. And we got
hopefully
Mosley at some point may come back. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm very confused. Like, they had to put him on the roster, but they don't want to activate him because he's still hurt. I'm not sure what's going
on. Who are you talking about?
Emmanuel Mosley. I have no idea what's going on there.
Anzalone
is ready
to
go,
I think.
I thought Campbell said he was ready.
Ready?
Yeah, I don't know what with him. That's the weirdest thing.
It is
I wonder if it's like a mental thing because he's torn both.
But you see who we got back too? We got Pittman back.
Anthony Pittman, re-signed off the Jaguars practice squad.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
We are searching high and low on those practice squads right now throughout the NFL.
Hey, Pittman's not bad. I mean,
at least he knows what to do.
Yeah, he's a body.
I mean, what do you do? Like Campbell says, you can't feel sorry for it. No one's going to feel sorry for us. Nope. No, you know, no one is feeling sorry for him.
No, they're probably feeling the opposite. They're probably feeling giddy about the chance that the Lions are falling apart.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They see a window of opportunity.
Yeah.
Did you guys – the one statistic, though, I don't know if you guys looked at this, but I did ran the numbers – and when they ran, when they wear the black uniforms, they're 500. Any other uniform combination, they're 91.7% winning percentage.
And does that tell
they
you
average 42
boys?
Points a game in the black
does
uniforms.
Does that tell you something?
Yeah, but they
boys?
Scored 91.7% of the games they win. I think that's the
that
important thing.
Does that tell you something?
Yeah.
Does that you not know, tell you something? The black.
I will say something.
And yet every episode, UJ is wearing a black Lion hat.
Something
he supports he supports the color.
Something that bothered
Facts
me about that, though,
themselves.
Like watching that game, I couldn't help but see it. Like, it really annoyed me how much it looked like when we were wearing the all whites against the Colts and they're black and blue, which I didn't really care for. And it just, I didn't.
Those are ugly.
They didn't look good against all white. either. Like, I don't know. I the only good thing about that uniform was the helmet. Like, the helmet's dope. The uniform, like, they should do that helmet with the blues.
With the blues, it would have been great.
It's a very classy uniform.
Yeah.
They should make a blue helmet for like a blue.
If they were wearing that with the all blues, the Lions logo should be silver.
That's what I was going to say. Make a special one just for the all blues. Make an all blue uniform and helmet.
The black logo would not look good with the all blues.
Get rid of that black.
Get rid of black. I agree.
I disagree too.
Classy
uniform.
Yeah, Matt Millen disagrees
all you want.
Well, last night proved
these are better than the Matt Millen black uniform.
Why are you guys still thinking about Matt Millen?
Like, well, because that's a tribute to him. His uniforms.
It is too.
It is literally. Dan Campbell even said it's like an
homage. There's no other way to look at it. No other way to look.
Because Campbell wore the black ones.
They look good. They look good.
Yeah, they got to play good. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Well, the one half of the ball is playing good when they wear them.
Yeah, but the win column is the important one. That's the one to look at.
It is funny though, like, because like even like I like as much as I'm like next man up and like it doesn't matter, like. The people savaging Aaron Glenn right now for what he's doing, that defensive performance. It's like, on the one hand, they'll be like, oh, we're banged to shit. We're going to suck. But then when we do suck, they're like, fuck Aaron Glenn. Like, what is it? The is he banged up or is it Aaron Glenn?
Really,
like,
is anyone really saying that right now?
Oh, they're saying it.
Well, some assholes. But yeah, mostly, like, when you look at the other teams, I think the Eagles have had four people on IR this year. We've had 19, or maybe it's even more today. I don't even know.
I think it's 19.
Yeah.
It's like a constant running clock. One of those things that's just.
Isn't that Nate? Isn't that crazy? And most of them are on the defense, too, which is.
It's insane.
Why the defense is so thin right now.
Like the national debt clock, you know, our injury clock. Just keep turning.
Right.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Like every time they run a play on defense, I'm waiting to see if anybody's hurt. Like I'm almost expecting it.
Seriously.
You know, like, oh, please, I hope no one's hurt this play. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're like expecting a new player on IR.
I know. It's horrible. Three. I mean,
yeah.
And they're all serious, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they're out for a couple weeks at a time. They're out for the season or several, like 6 to 8 weeks. If he returned to practice today for the first time.
Back? I don't know.
That's good.
We need something.
So his practice clock starts, that gives him 3 weeks. I mean, he hasn't played all year, so I'm not holding my breath on that one.
Hey, any help we can get, man.
Ennis Rakestraw is close, but he's not returning from IR this week, so he's still.
Did Levi
a ways
play
away.
Yesterday?
He did. He played a,
I didn't really know.
He played a ton. I could tell you how many snaps here.
I mean,
they're lining him out at edge in this game too.
Well, yeah,
that's how desperate there. He played 76% of the snaps in this game.
Our core three are now like him, Reader, and Pascal. Like everyone else is like a bunch of scrubs that are.
Well, oddly enough, I mean, Za'Darius Smith only played 30 snaps in this game. They're still keeping his snap count really low, even though they're desperate.
I think they see it more as a pass rusher.
Where a guy hitting the line, bouncing out and going outside because their contain guys weren't there. How many times in that game? Several.
This
one?
I thought it was our contain was terrible.
Yeah. Well, contain more in the passing game, I thought. Like the running game, they
I'm
just
talking specifically the run game here. It seemed like he was bouncing outside a lot. And Muhammad, I've seen him whip a couple times. He broke down inside. Pascal missed on it, just totally missing a couple times. He could have been there.
Yeah, this was Pascal's worst game of the year, I thought.
Discipline was bad. Contained discipline was horrible. And in the pass rush, actually, early it was bad. It got better as the game went, as far as the discipline of the pass rush.
Yeah.
In the pocket. It got better toward the second half.
Oh, yeah, Nowaski.
I would say.
Making Nowaski back still.
Yeah, and UJ, I think it is a lot what Campbell was saying, which goes into line with what you're saying, is the Bills were ready to play. I think those guys are really fired up for this game.
Yep.
And for some reason, I know the Lions are prepared, but they're – every game they are, but they didn't quite have that edge that Buffalo had in this one.
No.
Nope.
Because you saw guys like Reader and Ragnow and stuff getting beat, like, on some stuff. You know, they're usually they'd be a lot more disciplined, but they're getting beat this week.
You just wonder if it's a little that's the wear and tear in the season. And, you know,
the Bills are on fire, too.
Like Rudd Dog said, that long winning streaks like that create pressure, you know. I mean, to keep winning. And it's a lot of pressure on these guys. Maybe this is that finally, like, just sort of a monkey off your back, a little bit of pressure release. Now we go against an easy team, if you will.
I don't know. Right now, as we're speaking, they're down only 10. The Bears are only down 10 to the Vikings right now. So
they should have had a touchdown.
Go Bears.
They had a penalty. Yeah.
Classic Bears.
It's second and one, I think, at the goal line.
Yeah, I'm not counting on the Bears to beat the Vikings.
Anyway, my point is, I think this, you know, in the long-term scheme of things, this is not the end of the world by any means
It could be, in a way, cathartic. Like, it's a release now. Like, it's like, get back to, forget that streak, forget the whatever, get back to playing fast and loose, get back to the violence, get back to the fun. Like, it just looked like the Bills took the initiative in that game in every way. Like, they were a little bit more chippy, a little bit more violent. Like, everything where normally are, they kind of stepped up. And, like, they also changed their style. Like, their offense is normally more conservative, but they were, like, doing things against us that weren't. Like, they had a good game plan, and they came in and changed some stuff up. And like, you know, a lot of that's on them, but a lot of that's just it wasn't our best performance. So, like, I think that's part of the problem is, like, when you look bad in a win like that or a loss like that, it's just people see it and, like, it gets people nervous. And, well, the injuries, obviously, it's just hard to ignore at this point. The list is getting ridiculous.
I'm trying to see if there's any other news injury-wise. There's not much else to update at the moment, like, from people coming back or otherwise. Although Reader should be back somewhat soon. Yeah. They just got to get him to the playoffs, like I've said all year.
Does this performance for Jared Goff work the same way that Josh Allen's worked for him when they lost to the Rams? Like, it was an elite.
Well, Josh Allen was already the front runner. So, are you talking about in the MVP race or just in general?
Yes.
Oh no, Josh.
The MVP race is over.
When you lose to the guy that's the front runner of the MVP, even if he played really well, you're probably not gonna win the.
Yeah,
MVP.
Let him have that award. We just want the Super Bowl. Man. So
that's it, man.
That's all we want. But 5 touchdowns, no picks from Jared Goff, 494 yards.
Gnarly. Amon Ra had a nice game with him, except for that stupid fumble. Just frustrating.
Yeah,
there's just little mistakes. Like they said.
It was nice
to see
LaPorta be used heavily in the pass game, though. Yeah, I will say that. And Gibbs was used heavily at 5 catches for 83 yards. I mean, they're going to really rely on him. Tim Patrick, another beautiful touchdown catch.
The Irishman.
Yeah, he's fun to watch out there.
Goff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good play by Goff. Goff had, how many, 13 yards rushing, a 10-yard rush in this game. Yeah,
that scramble he had where he looked like he was dead, man. Like, I don't know how he got out of that. He spun out of that one and just ran for 10 yards.
Yeah, he was really feeling it in this game.
Sometimes this year.
Like, I think that's been a trend with him, though. Like, his comfort in the pocket and, like, that ability to just not panic and, like, not go down unnecessarily is just getting better. Like, and I think that's, like, a thing with great pocket passers. That's, like, a thing comes with age. They talked about, like, how Manning and Brady got, like, even more elusive as they got older just because they understood the nuances better. And I think we're seeing some of that with Goff right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not too concerned, I don't think any of us are with the offense. It's the defense. Having said that, what are the Lions going to need to do going forward to solve the issues that they have on defense? Is it just blitz the house every play? I mean, the Lions play man more than any team in the NFL. Yeah. It's by a pretty wide margin to that point. Now, Terry Arnold probably becomes cornerback one here, but who steps in that second one? You know, I don't know. Vildor?
Move Amik Robinson maybe to corner.
That's why I wish.
Maybe.
Like,
Emmanuel Mosley. Emmanuel Mosley.
Like, Mosley, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
They say I feel like they should go a little more zone a little longer with all these injuries. But
I might really screw a team up if they did that. Maybe when you get to the playoffs, maybe they're saving that. You know?
I could see if we got Iffy back, put like Branch at corner.
Yeah, I think with the health of the defense, they're going to have to adjust a little bit. And the important thing is just to not give up touchdowns all the time. And that offense has to step it up. No more three and outs. They got to like churn clock and score a ton of points. At least till we get everybody back, you know.
Right. I think the Lions are going to have to ask for a lot more out of Amudzirike, especially in a pass rush. I think Broderick Martin, you're going to be asking for him to step up here on the inside. I don't think they want him honestly out there, but they made him inactive for this game too. But he's gonna have to be ready because they're out of bodies. So you're gonna have to step up, brother. So
exactly.
Yeah. This is a chance for some of these guys to make a name for themselves.
Well, is the combination of Tyrion Arnold and Kendall Vildor better than Kendall Vildor and Cam Sutton in the Super?
Well, yes, I would say.
Hey, so we're still better than last year in some way.
Yeah, but the defense was way better this year until all these injuries.
Oh my God, so much better!
Our secondary is still better.
We have the number one defense. Yeah. If we activate our guys, this defense is it was going to be the best defense this year if it stayed healthy.
The Lions, more than any other team in the NFC, though, need that bye. They need that bye week really bad. Three games left in the season. They won't get Hutch for the first game of the playoffs, but if they can somehow sneak out that first one and get him back for the NFC Championship,
that early bye did not help this team, man.
No, we were cursed with the early bye. It seems like we always get the early bye almost all the time. I mean, like we've had the early bye like 7 of the last 10 years, it seems like.
How come when Matt Patricia switched the strength and conditioning coach and people were getting injured, they were blaming Patricia, but you don't really hear that about the Lions, all these injuries.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, Bob, that's a good point. I was actually thinking about that today. How come we haven't heard about that with all these injuries we're having? They're not blaming the conditioning. They're not blaming.
Yeah, because remember that happened in the past.
You gotta blame somebody, I've seen on Twitter some people are blaming them. They're like posting their little snippets on the Lions website.
Oh, are they?
Like, I don't know. But
I think part of it is fluky. That Campbell's got these guys playing so aggressively and so fast. You know?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're playing too fast for their bodies at times. You know, like Dorsey, like on that play yesterday, he was flying, man, across the field.
These injuries weren't happening in past years with Campbell.
It's just,
they just come in batches at times. Like they're weird. Like the thing is, I think the reason it's not is because the injuries aren't all the same in nature. It's like it's a full spattering of injuries. Especially bone snappers like that. Like those are hard to attribute to anything but freaky, just bad luck on angles and stuff. Like then you get the knees and the joints and stuff get a little more questionable to like the turf, I think. Like, you know, like, cause that's like, is it the whatever? But like, some of it's just these collisions, the way these guys are hitting, the way things are going. It's just the roll of dice. It just ain't falling in our favor this year.
I'm not blaming the trainers. I just thought it was funny because in the past that used to be a topic on Lions radio. You know, like when
it was.
Well, I think there can be sometimes a trend that suggests the trainers aren't doing a good job if it's like a bunch of specific types of injuries are repeating. But like, yeah, I don't think that's the case here.
I'll bet now though, if you want to play a horrible prank on like Hutch or Dorsey, like you sneak up behind him, you break a stick behind him, you're like, like can you imagine that?
Grabs their legs.
That's funny, but I thought it was. I couldn't resist.
So we think Aaron Glenn sticks with heavy man and tries to blitz.
I don't know about all that.
I think that's what he will do.
He'll try it at least.
Well, it's obviously what they want to do. It's their MO, but
yeah,
he might have to adjust a little bit here.
You're not playing Josh Allen every week either. I mean, if the offense keeps cooking, they should be all right if they just kind of slow defenses down. I mean, still slow the other offenses down.
I do think Josh Allen's O-line played a good game as well.
They did a good job against us.
They played really good, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the Bills are absolutely on fire, and we lost by a score.
Yeah, they came off their loss where that got them reset right before they got us. So I think we're about to do the same thing they just did, which is reset, and next, beware who's next.
We just got to meet that initial punch, you know. Like in this game, we came out like, it's another game. Let's try to establish a run a little bit here. Oh, 3-and-out. Oh, bad, you know. Punt, boom. And then Buffalo was just wired for this one, man. They came out flying, guns a-blazing. And by the time we realized it, we spotted them like 3 touchdowns. Like, oh, all right, time to get serious, boys.
Yep.
We got to come out with that same punch in the beginning of the game, right in the beginning.
And as much of it as it looked like a blowout by Buffalo for a lot of the game or whatever, even with the Lions playing poorly, they it was just a few mistakes here and there, like the fumble, the missed field goals, you know, just like some of the, if they just corrected some of that small stuff, they probably win the game or at least goes to overtime or something.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. One more slight criticism. That last drive on offense, I think, could have used a little bit more urgency than they.
There was a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I know
they had three timeouts
touchdown.
In their pocket. And they kept spiking it, which I thought was odd.
Hey, if we're talking about the timeout usage, I thought Campbell was really smart with that, actually. I don't mind them saving it. Really smart.
But the touchdown just took too long, is what I'm saying. They needed a little bit more urgency there.
It did.
Because if the Bills got the ball back with more than 40, they could have called all three and gotten the ball back. But
Right.
But yeah.
But like when we did that onside kick at the end, and if we got the onside kick, which we almost did, I figured we needed like 30 seconds, 25 to 30 seconds to have a legit shot. But even if we did get that, we would have had, I think by the end of that play was over 6 or 7 seconds.
Yeah. The Bears need like 36 seconds for one play, right? The end of the game?
Yeah. That's right.
Vikings are now up 20-3.
You know,
speak about that.
I also think when you just look at this game on the schedule from the beginning of the year, especially with like the way things did end up panning out, it was always seen as one that would be like a nice challenge, but not necessarily a must win unless like something else was, you know, unless we were losing more. But like it was like the way things did pan out, this was not a must win game for us. It had a lot of like the least strings attached of most of our games this season. Like it, you know, sure. It would have been awesome to win with the races going on, but we're still in control of our destiny. They were a great team. It's not like our morale should be low. They're one of the best teams in the league, and we kept up for it with them for the most part, you know? And then let's just keep going.
Okay. Yeah, the Lions had one loss out there like that they could have taken at any point in the last four games, and they decided to use it this week. They are still the one seed in the NFC based on tiebreaker because they have the better conference record over the Eagles by one game. So the Eagles, they win over the Steelers at home. They move to 12-2, tie with the Lions record. The Vikings look like they're going to win tonight against the Bears, so no relief there. They are 12-2. It's crazy at 12 and the Vikings could be 14-3 and be a wild card team, which is pretty wild.
That is tough.
And then you have the Packers who won in Seattle. They moved to 10-4. So it's an interesting race. The Bucks and the Rams. The Rams moved into – you could have another Lions-Rams playoff game here in the future.
You have an 11 or 12-win team that doesn't make the playoffs in the NFC North potentially?
They'll make the playoffs. So it'll just be a wild card team.
Yeah, right.
Packers could get the second wild card.
Three teams.
You could have all four from a division can make it.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, that's a okay. Nice. Oh wow, wouldn't that be
Packers
wild?
Will definitely make
north?
The playoffs.
Or, well, obviously not the Bears, but three teams from the north got repped in it. That'd be insane.
Yeah,
that's where we could get some help. Is Packers Vikings? I think Packers could.
Oh, are they playing each other?
There.
Yeah. Well, honestly, the Vikings need to lose twice in the last 3 weeks. Otherwise, well, that's not true. Actually, the Lions would have the Lions would have tiebreaker. Yeah, because
the Lions went out. They win the division and then one season.
Yeah, Lions went out. They're fine.
We're in control, baby.
Doesn't matter.
Odds are
we'd have the tiebreaker over the Vikings and a better.
We want that one seed. We need that one seed.
I know.
Yes.
I know they should have waited till the Vikings game to lose. You know, and they could have rested.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Alas,
we had locked it up.
The Chiefs won again. They have the best record in the NFL solely now. The Lions gave that up to them.
And the Eagles are the other one we've got to watch because they're for that.
They look really good. The Eagles look really good. And they have a very easy schedule to end the season. They have the Commanders, Cowboys, and Giants.
Commanders got a shot.
Their roster with our injuries right now makes them probably look a little better. I still think we just have the better team. Like, I think. The Eagles are just deadly because they just have a ton of talent. Like I don't think
healthy. I think we're better than the Eagles.
Oh, by far. Oh, but yeah. I don't think Hurts is like nearly as good of a quarterback as Jared Goff. But he's good. Like they're just so dangerous because they're just oozing with talent at every position. But I don't think they have the camaraderie or like the close knittedness and like
they were like fighting on
culture
the
like we do. Like that's I think we're on another level in terms of just team dynamics. But talent wise, they're brimming.
Right. Who's fighting on the sideline? The Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah, they always have a lot of issues. They're fighting like the press too.
That's because it's Philadelphia. Philadelphia sucks. Those people
Because they took Jalen Carter.
Psychopaths. They're all criminals, man. They're just like, they're horrible people.
Hey, Connor, where were you born?
I was born in the great city of Philadelphia.
So. Oh, boy.
Straight to jail.
Kick him off the podcast. You think?
They were my second team when I was little. I used to love
You did have a Eagles poster in your bedroom as a child, as I recall.
I did.
You allowed that, Bob?
Holy well, he had God. Lions stuff, too.
Well, the Lions were always my number one team, but that was like the Millen days, so the Eagles were like my second team. You got to cut 7-year-old Connor some slack, you know. It's not the same anymore.
No. Why would we have to cut
someday
7-year-old
Connor and 50-year-old UJ will talk about their alternate teams, the Colts and the Philly.
Yeah, you're still mad about the Colts resting their starters.
So. that was not a team crush.
Oh, you started.
That was a Peyton Manning thing.
How do you feel about the Colts resting their starters that last week?
Oh, no. Don't even start me.
Jim Caldwell?
Start me. And you guys all, Jim Caldwell, good coach. Yeah, we got winning records with Jim Caldwell. Fuck Jim Caldwell. Yeah, he was.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I think UJ could do a whole season of podcasts with this one topic. He could go on and on.
I think our listeners have heard this argument like 30 times.
All right, I'll stop.
Only 30?
I'll tell you, the guy I feel for right now, though, is Dan Campbell. Because, like, think about before the game, he has to go out and give a pep talk to the locker room. He goes, okay, guys, we're going to go out there. We're going to win this one for Hutch. We're going to win this one for Aleem. And we're going to win this one for Carlton. We're going to win this one for Rodrigo. He's going to have it, like, on the paper, like a list. And is it, by the time he's down the list, you're like, oh, this is going to play.
And then he realized Aleem wasn't injured out yet. Like, he's like, oh, what the?
Aleem's in the hospital, and then they're like, all right, we're going to run the picket fence at him, you know. Because Aleem's listening to it on the radio.
This is the opposite of that. This is
coming out of the wheelchair out of the left. Just chime out. Comes Aleem with the wheelchair out the tunnel. Tunnel up, boys.
I love it. This could all work to our advantage.
No, bring them all out,
like
man.
The Angels in the outfield music.
Rodrigo on crutches, Aleem in the wheelchair. Hutch will be hopping out there. Let's get all our injured guys out there, man. Bring them all on the field for one big timeout.
They should.
Oh my God,
that would be awesome.
Well,
I'll
tell you, the Lions last year going into the NFC Championship were like, they had pretty much their entire roster like healthy. This is the complete opposite this year. So in some ways, you could argue like the Lions are. I hope this is not the case, but the Lions don't win the NFC Championship. You could argue last year was a better chance than this year.
Hey, whoa.
How dare you?
Whoa.
I had to say it. Somebody had to say it on this podcast.
Bite your tongue. No one had it. We're the blue Kool-Aid drinkers, man.
Hey, Dan Campbell said we're destined for this, okay?
It's like when Linus said, if the great pumpkin comes instead of when. You know, if you don't have that belief.
This is the one.
Right.
This is
if
the one.
If we make it to the Super Bowl, we could be pretty healthy.
Yeah, get Hutch.
They could be healthier. Yeah.
This is like the first movie in the trilogy when like the hero's like maimed at the end, and you're like, you want to see him at full power, but he managed to beat the villain.
I'll tell you what.
Then in the next one, we're gonna be healthy and we're all super powerful, and you get to see what we're really capable of. We'll have the full defense. We'll be unstoppable. Now the hero is just the beast, and I will be the whatever the. The one.
Kind of ran out of gas there.
Yeah, I did.
I will say this. I think America wants the Lions and Bills in the Super Bowl, just from an entertainment standpoint.
Yeah. Especially after this game. That would
right,
be like
exactly.
A great preview for that.
The over-under is going to be like 70 in that game. Like
Can you imagine?
Like a Pac-12 college football game.
Two starved franchises, you know, for for success.
That is a great storyline. That is a great storyline. And then the Lions walk it off.
I'm interested, though, because, like, in some ways we still have some, like I said, our secondary is arguably still better than, like, last year. Granted, our front seven is missing Hutch in the postseason and all that. But, like, I don't know. I feel like we got the ability to muster something. Like, last year we managed to get to the NFC Championship by letting, like, other teams' number one receivers put up, like, 300 yards and 8 touchdowns every game and still winning. Like, somehow we'll figure it out this year.
I agree.
I still don't know what happened on Jake Bates' field goal. Like, I don't know how he missed it that badly.
It was a snap.
No, the snap and the hold were perfectly fine. That was not the issue.
He shanked it.
Yeah, I guess it's just like a golf shot. Yeah, just like, you know, just like me. I hit a great shot 95% of the time, and 5% of the time it just goes awry.
Right as he was.
Oh wait, no, it's the other way around. It's 5% good, 95% bad.
Right as he was going to kick it, he remembered he left the stove on, and it just he distracted him.
Nah. Big Z is great when no one's watching. He swears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just when you're there.
Never been witnessed.
It's a pressure.
Alrighty. Well,
he's like that cat in the box.
I'm just thinking about this UJ with the Aleem coming out in a wheelchair. There would be awesome if they, like, at halftime of the next home game, they just honored the injured reserve, like, at halftime, they wheeled them all out in hospital beds and canes and the wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And they slowly, like, hobble out there, and they, like, look around, get the applause. Then, that'd be amazing. Yeah.
Like Betts, like the troops.
Oh my God. Would that be amazing or demoralizing? I don't know.
No, that's great. Oh my God, I love it, man. I mean, this is so, it'd be so inspiring. Tears will flow in that stadium. Like, oh my God.
It'd just be a good way to remind everyone in the league that this is what they got coming next year.
But like, at least we can get some comedy out of this.
On that note,
so you do realize that roster of people on IR would make up a great starting defense.
Yeah, our IR roster is killer, man.
It'd be better than most teams' starting defenses right now.
Hell yeah!
Oh boy. So, well, we'll see what happens with the injuries and who else Lions.
Pat O'Connor, hero of the Lions' first ever Super Bowl. That's what
it might have to be. It might have to be.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes.
Actually, I think Dan Campbell comes out next game and just onside kicks 4-5 times in a row.
Every just, time. Like, just no more
everybody's
I hope
face.
They don't need to do that against the Bears.
You know the part that sucks? You know the part
only
that sucks?
Fourth
so
quarter.
That I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about it, but that onside kick, I think is especially, like, you have the fact you have to declare it, I think completely ruins it. It highlights the stupidity of that rule.
This whole system is bad.
Yeah,
because
it
like
probably would have been a surprise to the
It
Bills.
Definitely would have been a surprise kick.
Right. They were surprised when they called their hands team out there.
Yeah, I don't like how that rule is set up currently.
No, it's bad.
But I also don't think it's going anywhere.
Has anyone seen anything to say like, oh, this kind of works? I have seen nothing.
I don't know the concussion data. That's one of the main reasons.
Oh no, it's down because no one's kicking, returning kicks. Like, I mean, like, it's boring, man. It's worse than at least the watching the guys sprint downfield in the past was kind of like the momentum to start the game. But now it's like they just stand there. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's bad. Yeah, bad policy.
I gotta realize it's a violent game, and it's, you know, and these guys sign up for it. They get paid a lot of money to do it. There's a lot of people who would sign up for it.
Coach Carberry said,
including myself, if you had the chance to play in the NFL, I mean, yeah, I think the risk is understood. And, you know, it can be brutal. I mean, it's a brutal game sometimes.
You might get your chance, UJ, if this attrition continues.
Well, if it continues, yeah, maybe.
The question is, what position does he play?
I think the Lions are holding those invincible tryouts. You know, like, they just say everybody from the city come out and try out this week.
I got to go stretch my hammies.
If that happens,
UJ,
we all have to go.
Show up with his Turkey Day all-time QB record.
That's
yeah,
right.
All right. Sorry, Goff. Time, my time now.
My Turkey Day record is unbelievable.
Kyler Murray blows him up. UJ's on his back, knocked out.
Why is Kyler Murray on defense?
No way. I guarantee you, even in my advanced age, that would never happen.
He's not a midget. It's just confusing because he's got a big head and he's got a small body. He's actually like 5'10".
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I think we're gonna wrap it up here. So
we're just getting started.
Yeah, I know.
Just heating up.
So the Lions will be on the road in Chicago next week. A place that
like the
is
Lions,
always
we finished strong, just a little short.
I'll be at that game, by the way.
Bob and I will probably be at that game too.
By the way, right. Me and Red Dog will be at that game.
Beautiful.
Along with two of the Kool-Aidettes, Jillian and Jenny. We'll be there.
G-Pup and
G-Pup and J-Dog, yeah. Right. They'll be there.
And Connor and Bob. And I don't know if Lil G is, too.
Oh, you are going.
Yeah. Well, No, we had us. It's set up to go with the whole family before. I'll explain it to you later. Anyway,
all right.
All right. All right.
No, let's share our details with the fans. They want to know.
All right. So
real life of the Kool-Aid crew.
Let's wrap it up here. Yeah.
The drama.
So we want
to
thank.
Share in the chat if you want us to start a reality TV show following the lives of the Kool-Aid crew.
You'll get there, Bigsy. You'll get that message.
Just share
almost
in the comments.
On the plane.
I want to thank our producer.
You want a reality show?
KJ. For
we're like
listening
through
this whole thing and editing it every single week. We appreciate that.
No one's ever going to keep them down.
Fansided Media, thank you for supporting the podcast. Apple, Spotify, where you get podcasts. Please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. If you
tell
like,
if you want a reality TV show,
if you like visualizing this podcast or seeing Bob pick up a book and read it while Rud Dog goes on one of his long rants, go on YouTube and go at DTBK _ Lions. or type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid and hit that subscribe button and leave a comment. What are your thoughts about this Lions defense? We'd love to hear that and any other predictions you think that they might do. So other than that, I think we're going to wrap it up here. We'll be back later this week previewing that upcoming game against the Bears. A big one.
The Bears.
Place that the Lions always have interesting games. So last but not least, as always, Go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.